Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's a privilege to be able to speak for Raph this morning. Governmentally, they have restricted his authority to preach and to teach, and so we're trying to work our ways around that until he's all healed up. And so I have the privilege and the honor to share with you guys this morning. We are normally in Acts with Raph, round about chapter 18 or so, but I'm not going to be there. I think he might be finishing up 17, getting into 18. But in chapter 18, we're introduced to the Corinthian church. And so if you want to open up to 2 Corinthians, I'm going to share a little bit out of 2 Corinthians. My devotions, as I read the Bible for myself and as I pray and do my own devotional time with the Lord, I'm currently reading through the book of Acts, and I'm actually pretty close to where we are with the church. I thought, well, that might actually just line up really well. You know, I could just kind of, because that's what when someone asks me, hey, Mike, we share with church, I usually just go, I guess I'll just share for my devotions. And I thought, well, that might work well, but I just didn't have a piece about it. And when we went on a retreat just to the other side of the island with the Bible school and everything, I was reading through 2 Corinthians, and the Lord, he spoke to me, through that book and kind of ministered to me in my time when I was there. And I thought, well, I really, really thought maybe the Lord had wanted to share what he had shown me there with the church now. And so this is more something that was personal that the Lord was reminding me with. I don't think I'm going to blow anybody's brains this morning with this brand new doctrine and teaching. I go, man, Mike, you just opened up the depths of the scriptures for me. Thank you so much. That's not what it's going to be like. It might just be a reminder. It might be an encouragement. It might be something that you haven't heard before. But if anything, know the Lord was ministering to me from it. And I really do pray that he ministers right back to you. And as I was praying with my girlfriend this morning, she was kind of helping calming me down. And it was funny, I was reminded, it was like, what I'm teaching this morning, I needed this morning. As I administered to me on the retreat, and I was kind of getting reworked up again. And the things that I'm going to share, I needed to hear it again. And so I really do hope that the Lord would use his spirit, not to use my words, but his spirit to, bless you guys. So, but before we get into the text, I would like to pray. So, please join me in prayer. Father, I thank you that we have your word so, readily available for us. Lord, we do not live in a persecuted nation. And Lord, I think of my brothers and sisters who are persecuted, who don't have your word. And I pray that you would bless them and encourage them. And Lord, in the same turn, I pray that you would, make us more excited that we have your word and make us more excited that we can, assemble together and not, forsake the assembling of the saints and having fellowship with one another. It's such a privilege. And so, Lord, I am very appreciative of that this morning. And Lord, I thank you that, you've sent your helper, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us. Lord, it lives inside of me right now as I'm up here sharing. And so, Lord, I pray that that's exactly what you would do, Lord. You would help me and you would speak through me. It would be your words that are going out. And Lord, I pray you would touch hearts. I pray you would touch the minds and you would transform us by your word. I pray we would have a respect and a reverence for your word. And Lord, I pray that you're going to be our living God this morning. Lord, I want to know, 2 Corinthians and what was happening right here. But Lord, I want to know what you're doing in each individual person's life. And Lord, they want to hear your voice on when they leave here, what do they do? Lord, how are they changed by your word? How do they apply it? How do they live it out? And because, Lord, that's the kind of God you are. You're not just a God of the Old and the New Testament. You're a God of the church age right now, and you are a God of the future, and you're our God. So, Father, I just pray that this time is a time that blesses you, and it's a time when you bless your children, Lord, because you love us so much. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, cool. So 2 Corinthians. In the book of Acts, Paul's second missionary journey is from Acts 15:36 to Acts 18:32. That's when he did his second missionary journey. And as he's cruising around, as we just talked about in Acts chapter 18, is when he landed there at Corinth. And that's where these Corinthians are from. They're from Corinth. And so he stayed there about a year and a half. And then he ended up taking off. And the church was planted. We have a church in Corinth now because Paul went there on his second missionary journey. And then so he kind of cruises back there on his third missionary journey. And as he's, you know, going through the land, he eventually will get back to Corinth. But it takes him a little bit longer to get there. And the church of Corinth kind of has their problems. They have their issues. And so when he is in Ephesus, Paul writes 1 Corinthians, you know, the book that we're not going to cover today. Because they got a lot of issues. And Paul's like, well, I planted this church. I care for them. I have a heart for them. And I need to write to them to correct a lot of these issues. And it was kind of a sharp rebuke. And so when Paul's working his way back there eventually, he kind of sends Titus ahead of him saying, hey, will you go check? You know, how did they receive my letter? You know, because some of those things were probably hard to take. And I want them to receive those words because they're the words of the Lord. And as I'm about to come back on my third missionary journey, I would hope that they would receive me as well. And so he's in the region of Macedonia, closing in. He's getting closer and closer to come back to Corinth. And Titus is like, yeah, man, they received it. The church is doing a lot better. You know, take heart. They're excited to see you. And so, you know, it's kind of a cool thing that they're ready to receive Paul. But there was still some pretty harsh criticism that Paul was receiving. You know, they questioned his authority and his apostleship. And there's a lot of the stuff that was still kind of hard, and heavy on Paul's heart. And so when he writes the second epistle of the Corinthians, he's in Philippi, he's getting closer. And it's more so he does, you know, address some issues in the church. But as you read through 2 Corinthians, there's so much of this letter as Paul is opening up his heart to the Corinthians. He's like, he's getting personal, he's getting deep with them, he's sharing his life with them, he's sharing who he is with them. And it's one of the most, you know, personal epistles that Paul has written. It's a really cool thing. As you read this, you read through the whole epistle, you see a lot of Paul's heart. And so one thing that I want to talk about very specifically about Paul's heart this morning is going to be from verses 8 through 11. I want to look at Paul, you know, sharing his heart on what I think is here is on difficulties. And so let's just read through 8 through 11 to get a general scope of it, and then we'll come back. Chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Sorry about that. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and does deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and yet he will deliver us. You also joining in, helping through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. And so if I had to title this, you know, I don't title messages. I kind of just, because I'm normally, the only time I ever teach is, I help teach at the Bible college, and I help taught with a youth group back in my home church. But we just kind of go from chapter 1, verse 1, and we just go through. I don't really ever think of a message. I'm like, okay, we're on chapter 1 today. We're on chapter 2 today. But Martin asked me for a title, and I think the title of the message would be His Strength, as in God's, not ours. And so maybe keep that in your mind as we go through this. So verse 8, it says, we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which has come to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. And I kind of hear often that people say, you know, God is never going to give you more than you can handle. I know life is hard right now, brother. I know life is hard right now, sister, but God's never going to give you more than you can handle. And frankly, I just don't believe that's to be true at all. You know, you look at Paul's life right here, and, you know, it seems almost that God purposely gave him more than he can handle. He's like, I'm way overburdened. And I feel, does anybody else feel like that sometimes? Like, no, Lord, I really do feel like this is way above my pedigree. I don't know why you gave me all this, but this is far beyond what I could handle. You know, Paul said, I was burdened excessively beyond my strength. And I think if you maybe just flip over to it real quick, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll stay in Corinthians for the most part today. But here's just like a little bit of Paul's life at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at about verse 23. He goes, you know, as for me, I was in far more labors and far more imprisonments. I was beaten times without number. I was often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep.
I've been on frequent journeys in dangers of rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles. He's been in a lot of danger. Dangers in the cities, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger, thirst, often without food, in cold, exposure. And then all these external things, even apart from all them, there's a daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches that I have. So who's weak without me being weak? And who is led into sin without my intense concern? And so this is just some of the stuff. Like Paul is like, hey man, I've been burdened. Check it out. Here's just a small list. And if I look at that list, like even half of just one of those things, I wouldn't even be able to handle none of that. I can't imagine being shipwrecked, having to cruise out in the middle of the ocean, floating around. No thanks, man. I got like a phobia of that. I do not want to be floating around in the middle of the ocean. Especially at night. I don't like the, I can't even swim. We went on, you know, a journey to, we had to swim out to a cave. It was probably like, what, 100 yards away, Raph? It was nowhere, you know. The average swimmer gets there easily. I had to get like one of those big floaty Raph noodles and kick my way out there because I can't, I'm afraid of the ocean. You know, and just the, some of the hardships that Paul has here is way more than I could bear. And I just think that I get stretched. I think you guys get stretched. You guys have a burden. Or yeah, maybe not this present moment. Maybe some of you are like, no, I'm there right now. I got burdens and I got stretchings that is, it's freaking me out. And I'm feeling the weight of the world in this present moment. And even though maybe it's not exactly like Paul's was, that's extreme. But in the Lord's eyes, whatever burden you have, whatever weight you're feeling, whatever stretching you're going through is equally as significant in the Lord's eyes. You know, just one person's burden to another person's burden can't be compared. The Lord sees it and he cares because he's our loving Heavenly Father. And so he sees your burden and he knows you might be way, you know, overburdened in your own strength. But that's the key I want to look at. If you look back at verse 8, you know, look at verse 8 with me. And it says that, you know, we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. They weren't burdened beyond God's strength. And I think that's the biggest part of this verse, of this passage that was ministering to me. He was burdened beyond his own strength. You know, no matter how tired I get, no matter how stressed I get, no matter how anxious and freaking out I am, and I just feel like, you know, this is way too much. This is way too much to handle. God's sitting there, well, you know, like, I'm not really moved by this. I'm not affected by this. This isn't too much weight for me to handle. He's like, I'm an omnipotent God. I'm an all-powerful God. I'm an omniscient God. I'm all-knowing. I know your circumstance. And God is sitting, he's like, hey, I can pick up whatever mountain you seem to be having in your life. I could, you know, chop it down. I can throw it in the middle of the sea. And I can handle, I can carry all of your load for you. You might be pushed beyond your own strength, but you are not pushed beyond my strength, is what God would be saying. He's like, and I want to give you my strength in order to carry this. And I think Paul had that figured out. Because if you look at verse 9, you kind of see a little bit of Paul's philosophy. He says, indeed, we had the sentence of death. That's a pretty serious kind of weight and a burden. Within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. We would trust in God who raises the death. And I think God allowed Paul to go through all of these trials, to have this burden, to have these massive hardships in himself. And he would see that, hey, man, you are way burdened beyond your own strength because that way you don't trust in your own strength. He says that we would not trust in ourselves. I really do feel God wants us sometimes to come to the end of ourselves so that we'll seek the Lord and get the focus off of ourselves. You know, we'll call upon his name for help. We will call upon him for strength. Because I think that's what Paul ended up happening here. You know, that we would not trust in ourselves, but we would trust in God who raises the dead. And he did, if you just go a chapter or two over to chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 says, such confidence we have through Christ toward God. This is chapter 3, verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ towards God. They didn't have confidence in themselves. Not that we are adequate in and of ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. I love that. Paul's like, I don't have it. But he's like, I don't need to have it. Because my adequacy, everything comes from the Lord. You know, when I'm weak, God is strong. Still, even in 2 Corinthians 12, he keeps talking about this. This is a very, you guys probably know this one by heart. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. He said, you know, the Lord, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness, God says. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I'm content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong.
And, you know, I love serving here. Raph is, he's a great friend of mine. He's a great guy to work with. And it's my own fault that I chose to teach the book of Isaiah for the Bible college. And Isaiah has 66 books, 66 chapters, I should say. And I got to teach like 6 chapters a week. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that in the complaining sense. It's just, I put like a burden on myself. And then I'm reading through Isaiah. And I'm like, man, this stuff is like deep. It's like poetical. This stuff is prophetical. Like, some way, we just got done talking last Friday about the night monster and stuff. And the class is like, Mike, what, the night monster? You know? And like, there's some weird stuff. It's all good stuff. But I feel like pressured to do that sometimes. And then my pastor Dave comes here, and I got to hang out with Dave, and I'm talking a lot about future stuff with Dave, and that's taking up a lot of my time, which I'm enjoying. And then I have less time to study for Isaiah. And then Raph goes, hey, Mike, you want to teach on Sunday? I'm like, what? Yeah, I'd love to teach on Sunday. No worries, you know? And then I'm thinking about Sunday, and then I'm thinking about next Isaiah class, and then there's some extreme hike we're supposed to do that we haven't planned for the extreme hike yet. I got to talk to you about that. Raph, you need to plan for the extreme hike, man. I think it's tomorrow, you know? It's like I'm thinking back to this, and it's like, you know what? My burdens might be different than the Apostle Paul's, but I got burdens, man. And so I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I need some extra strength through this. You know, I was going to bed too late, and I was getting up too early. I got headaches and stuff. And I'm not saying this as a woe is me party, but to maybe paint a picture of at least what I was thinking in my brain. Like, what did I sign up for? This is not, you know, like a nice leisurely drive through, like, you know, the autumn meadows or something, you know, just like really is, I don't know, I just made that illustration up, but it just seems really comforting and peaceful, you know. But it's a little bit harder than I thought it was going to be. And so for you guys, too, I think burdens are going to come our way. And sometimes whether it's financial, whether it's a family issue, you know, you're trying to raise your kids and they don't listen ever, you know, I don't know. But burdens are going to come our ways. And I think the number one thing we need to do is Matthew 11, 28. I'm gonna flip there. You guys can turn there with me if you want. Matthew 11, 28. You know, these burdens are here. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, how strong we can be when we let go of our own burden and give it to the Lord. You know, I think sometimes I feel the weight of my burden too much because I'm the one that's trying to carry it. Because when I surrender that to the Lord, it's a lot easier to run the race when I'm letting Him be the strength in my back. And when I'm giving it up to Him and I'm surrendering it in prayer, life does, you know, through those times of sweet intimacy with the Lord, it's like I am driving through those meadows in the autumn time, you know. And I ain't got nothing to do but just cruise and drive and relax. And there feels to be no weights, no pressures when I come to Jesus, when I'm weary, when I'm heavy laden, and I don't try to do it myself. You know, I think that's a part of the problem is when I try to do it myself. And maybe you're relating with me here this morning. Maybe you've got a lot of stuff going on, and you're trying to do it yourself. I don't know, maybe not. But back to 2 Corinthians, you know, I think, And throwing it on to Jesus to trust him with it in verse 9. You know, verse 9 says, you know, chapter 1 still, 2 Corinthians. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And man, I don't know how to gain more trust on the Lord. I really don't. Except to maybe just kind of, by faith, keep going. You know, sometimes you want to give up. You just got to keep going. And just trusting, you know, this weight is going to be pulled off. This weight is going to be lighter because I'm giving it to the Lord. And you just have to constantly remind yourself of that. Let the Lord give you that strength. Because verse 10 says, He's the one who delivered us. He says in verse 10, God has delivered us from so great a peril of death. And He does deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope. And He will yet deliver us. You know, God wants us to stop trusting in ourselves and to seek Him, to set our hope on Him, like verse 10 says. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always, it says in 1 Chronicles. You know, I think the main thing I love in verse 10 is about just God is our deliverer. He's our strength. He's the one we can trust. He's the one we can put our hope in past, present, and future. Because He says He has delivered us, He does deliver us, and He will deliver us. That's a God I could trust. I can meditate on the back in the other times in my life when God was so faithful to me. When I thought, man, this burden is going to crush me. I'm never going to make it out. I'm stressing out. Maybe back then I didn't even feel like the weight got lifted off. But I can look at it in hindsight and be like, whoa, God was so faithful. My God, who is my past God, was so faithful to me. He will be faithful to me right now in this moment I'm in. And I can trust that whatever comes in the future, God's going to be faithful to me then too. He's a God I can put my trust in. He's a God I can put my hope in. Paul had that figured out. This is his little philosophy, I think. I think he's sharing this. So don't lose heart. You know, you may be in it right now. And, you know, I think even I was listening to Pastor John Corson. And, you know, a part of it was he was saying even struggling with sins, you know, maybe it's not even just a weight of circumstance. It's a weight that we put on ourselves because, you know, whether we first got saved and we were on fire for the Lord, you know, and the Lord in our new Christian state pulled that struggle away from us. And, you know, I'm taking that burden away from you. And you're just like, yeah, free to live as a Christian. I'm on fire, you know. I ain't got no problems in the world. You seem to be like this, you know, the strongest as you've ever been in your life spiritually. And then, I don't know, because he kind of compared it to smoking. You know, you give up smoking. You do so good for so long. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, like 3 months go down the line, a year goes down the line, whatever the situation is. And add like a ton of bricks, even though you were delivered like that and you didn't struggle in the smallest bit. Now all of a sudden you're struggling like crazy. And you just can't, you just like, oh, I just got to go and I got to give in to this temptation. And you start falling into sin again. And then you just can't get out of the rut you found yourself in. You're like, what in the world? Now I got this weight of like condemnation. And I got this weight of trying to have the strength to be delivered from the sin that I'm in, right? Well, you know, if we remember, he's our deliverer, this is Jesus Christ. You know, God delivered us. And it's coming back to that place to remembering that, yeah, maybe there was a spot in time when God would remove the struggle and it just kind of makes life easy. But then there's as we mature and as we become to know God more intimately, it's not that he just wants to take that struggle completely away. When we carry that and when we feel that, he wants to be the one who is our strength through it so we can lean on him the entire way through and say, yeah, this might be a struggle, but my God is so much bigger. I have Jesus here that can strengthen me and he can deliver me out of this. And we realize and we consciously make that effort to let Jesus himself, not a method, you know, not a specific amount of Bible reading time, not a specific amount of prayer and devotions and this and that. We just let Jesus himself, as we draw near to him, let him be the strength and not just like, you know, our own and matters like that. So your victory, it has to be Christ. It's not going to be our own strength. And another famous one is Zechariah 4:6. Someone could probably quote that by memory, not by strength, not by might, you know, but by spirit, not by power. It's my spirit, says the Lord. So the answer is finding your strength in the Spirit of God. So on like a little bit of a closing idea to start to wrap this thing up, practically, I want to ask is, well, what does it look like to use the Lord's strength? Because I feel like people have told me that since like I became a Christian, you know? And like maybe this morning I'm not going to have the exact answer of this is your life-changing moment, Raph, the strength to overcome, you know? But here's the first point. I've seen these workout T-shirts and it says the Lord's gym on it. And there's this huge, big old buff Jesus on it, you know, and he's like, he's on the cross and he snaps the cross off And he's like, oh, okay, the Lord's gym, this big old strong buff Jesus. So we just got to do some Holy Spirit filled push-ups and sit-ups and join his gym. And we'll be spiritually strong in no time, right? I'm going to go sign up for that way. You know, Ian's going to join me or something. Yeah, he's the trainer at the gym. Yeah, no, obviously that's not it. Yeah, that's a cool shirt, you know, and that's a good catchphrase for your gym and stuff and how to discipline yourself. But I think the practical wisdom is verse 11. Look at verse 11 with me. He says, you also, joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. And so I really do believe our help, our strength, our victory, God being the deliverance for us, you know, anything we need is found through intimacy. And intimacy with Jesus Christ himself. You know, he sees that prayer is the way. He's intimacy. Actually knowing God. You could know about God, but you won't know him unless you're intimate with him. You know, you could hear about strength all the day long, but unless you're intimate with God, you're not going to know his strength. And so I think intimacy is the biggest thing here. You know, prayer in and of itself is a whole other sermon that I'm not going to do this morning. I'm not going to get too crazy in it, but there's a few scriptures that I think of a lot and when I think about prayer that I want to just kind of talk about a little bit. You know, because Paul, he strongly believed in prayer, and he was always encouraging people to pray without ceasing, you know, making intercessory prayer. And you can just look at the whole New Testament, you can look at the whole Bible, but there's so many instances where prayer is just put on this huge pedestal and this intimacy with the Lord. Like in Joshua 10, I shared this with our devotions class the other morning, I think. The Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. You know, that's a time when literally Joshua and the nation of Israel had to fight against like five kings. They're kind of outnumbered, you know. And they sought the Lord. And if you read through the story there in Joshua 10, man, you got like big like hailstorms coming down. You got, you know, animals eating people. And you got the Israelites trying to like fight somebody. They go to stab them and like something falls from the sky and wipes them out. You're like, what? I'm trying to kill this dude right here. Because it says there that God fought for them and killed more people than they themselves did. And it's this very powerful illustration of God showing up in a very real way where they cried out to the Lord. And Joshua even said, hey, Lord, will you just like stop the sun real quick so we have more time to wipe these guys out? Because you're doing all this work and there's so many more of them. Maybe you just stop the sun for me and then we can keep this battle going. And God stopped the sun. They kept fighting. God kept fighting for them over and over again all day long. And so it says, the Lord listened to the voice of a man. Man, the Lord listens to us when we pray. He wants to, and do we pray that, and knowing that? Or do we just kind of go through it? Like, oh, this is just something that I do. This is, you know, I know special words on how to pray. I know the way I want to say grace, you know. You know, I have this and I have that. You know, God, oh man, I was in Bible college, and I should have told this girl how much it impacted my life. But she's kind of walked up, you know, oh, hey, how's your day, Mike? Oh, I'm cool. I'm trying to read my Bible. You know, she's kind of annoying me, you know. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Read my Bible here, you know. It's like, oh, what are you reading this? I'm like, oh, okay, you know, oh, cool. And I was like, okay, well, what about you? He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I was just in the coffee shop, and man, the Lord was so cool. You know, I was praying, and in the middle of my prayer, I really thought I heard the Lord's voice saying to me, I'm going to rat her out. Carly, why do you pray to me like you don't even know me? And so even though I didn't want to hear her, that struck me. That hit me hard. And I was like, do I pray to the Lord like I don't even know him? You know, do I pray to the Lord with intimacy there? You know, or do I just kind of go through it? Do I just say it, you know, because I know what I should say? And he says, you know, why do you pray to me like you don't even know who I am? Because there's a big difference between like the way I talk to my mom or the way you talk to your best friend, or you know what I mean? There's a connection. There's you understand who that person is, and you're involved and you're invested and you want to be there. There's emotion connected to it because you know them intimately. And God wants that kind of prayer for us because God listens to the voice of man. He wants to listen to everything that we have to say. And he wants to fight on our behalf. He wants to be our strength through it. You know, Paul said, help us. you know, verse 11, right? Paul said, help us. And it wasn't by physically doing something, you know. It wasn't by just nice, comforting words. It wasn't something tangible that the Corinthians were going to do. You know, they didn't go grab something. They didn't go, you know, over here and start literally physically getting work done. They just prayed. Because when I think of, like, helping someone, I think of, like we sent some students to Raph's house the other day to, like, power wash the floor or whatever. And they physically were doing stuff to help them, you know. Or, like, hey, this guy's crying. You know, his dog just got ran over, and he had that dog for, like, 20 years. It was the sweetest thing ever. I felt really bad for him. So I'm going to sit down with him, and I'm going to verbally console him. I'm going to help in a very tangible, in a very real way. And so I think sometimes I get this mentality, if I can't literally physically doing something, I'm not really helping that much. But Paul, he just said, you know what? I want you to join in helping us through prayer. You know, you could just kick back, sit down, relax, go into the room where no one's at, and you just pray. And that will help us. Because God here, like in Joshua, is listening to the voice of man. He's wanting to fight. He's willing to be the strength through prayer. And, you know, the most effective way for us to find our strength from the Lord sometimes, you know, is going to be through prayer. Not even sometimes. I think just all the time. You know, the most effective way to help someone else find their strength in the Lord is to pray for them. And so just a couple more things here. I also think of the book of James. Turn it with me to the book of James chapter 5 real quick. And this is just hopefully to just encourage us a little bit, because this is where, you know, the Lord was taking me. If you get to the book of Hebrews, go one more book over. Go to chapter 5. In verse 13, it says, is any among you suffering? Well, then he must pray. Even if anyone is cheerful, he's to sing praises. Is any among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15 says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. So therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The effective prayer, there's power in prayer. And here, verse 17, looking at the life of Elijah really trips me out a little bit. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Man, so the effective, fervent prayer works. It works for Elijah. Elijah, because sometimes I read the Old Testament. I love reading the Old Testament because it's very much like a narrative. And I just get lost in my Bible stories. You know, like Michael, I had read like Harry Potter like 8 times or something. Like all the books. That's crazy to me. I can't get that interested into stories, no matter how much I want to. But like these are stories, and I love them. I could probably read them 8 times a day just because it's a story. It's action-packed. And the prophet, I read the prophet Elijah, and he did some crazy stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's just Elijah. You know, obviously, that's only, Elijah was like a superhuman almost. Like, that guy was really blessed by the Lord. And no duh, God listens to his prayers and makes it rain and makes it stop raining. It's Elijah. You know, he was able to give a double portion of his spirit to Elisha. Like this dude, he went up in a chariot of fire. Like it's Elijah. Obviously, that's not me. It doesn't say Mike. It says Elijah. But James, he brings us back down to reality. He's like, no, check out Elijah. He was a man with a nature just like ours. Elijah was just like you, and he was just like me. Just a human. Just a dude. Normal guy. But Elijah was very intimate with the Lord. And I think when he prayed and he was like, you know what, Lord, you hear me. I know you're real. And he prayed effectively. He prayed fervently. He really went to the source of strength. He's like, I'm not going to do it on my own. I'm going to do it with the strength of the Lord. And the Lord answers him because he was intimate with the Lord. He was a man just like us. And then another a cool thing is Acts chapter 12 on this idea of prayer. You look at chapter 12, Peter got arrested. Poor guy. And as soon as he gets put in prison, verse 5, Peter was kept in the prison, but then prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. Okay, cool. You know, and then You know, he's thrown into jail. You guys know the story. They're praying. The angel shows up, shakes the place. You know, his chains fall off. He thinks he's all like in this trance or whatever. And he ends up walking out. And he's like, wait a minute, I'm out of jail. This isn't a dream. This is real. And he runs over to meet up with the other disciples. And then that's verse 12. Peter realizes this. You know, okay, well, let me go meet up with the other disciples. He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who is also called Mark, where many were gathered together, and they all were praying. He knocked at the door of the gate. A servant girl named Rhoda came out to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not even open the gate. But she ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to her, man, you're out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, nah, it's just his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him and they were amazed. They were probably so amazed because like they knew Peter was in jail and they were in the middle of praying for him. Hey, Lord, will you let Peter out of jail? You know, it'd be so great if, you know, you just kind of just deliver him in this instance. Oh, yeah, hold on. Tell them to wait. We're praying for Peter over here that he would get out of jail. And then all of a sudden, it is Peter who just got out of jail. And it's like, man, that is the effective, it's fervent prayer. It's really, it happened. It happened then. And then I think if we go back to Corinthians, he's the God of the past, faithful to deliver us then. He's the God of the present, faithful to deliver us now. And he's also our God of the future, who is faithful to deliver us in all the times to come. And so guys like Elijah, guys like Peter and the apostles that are praying for them really encourage me to pray and to pray intimately. You know, not a special method of how to pray. You know, I think I shared this with the group too, so a few students are going to hear this again. But Andrew Murray has like 8 books on prayer or whatever, you know. And Joe Foch was commenting about that, and he goes, yeah, I've read all 8 of Andrew Murray's prayer books, and they're really good. I enjoy every one of them, you know. And he goes, but let me save you some time. And he goes, at the end of all of his writings, Andrew Murray at the end still says, and I wish I would have just prayed more, you know. And Joe Foch was like, wait a minute, you write 7 books on to pray, and your conclusion is how to pray, just to pray more? It's like, so he goes, church, let me save you some. Don't read about how to pray. Don't spend your time reading how to pray. Just pray. Get on your knees and spend intimate time with the Lord. You know, make him your personal God. You know, you will learn how to pray when you pray with him. Just go to him and spend time with him. Get to know him. We don't need to know all the ins and the outs on what's the best way to pray. It's just to pray. You know? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And so my last comment is this, you know, Hebrews says we can boldly come to the Lord. There ain't no restrictions. We got full access. We can march right on in to the throne of grace. We can make our petitions made known to God. You know, we can boldly come. And that's really cool. You know, but the reason I got the one thing I said, the key to this, like in verse 8, was intimacy, because anybody could just pray, you know, anybody can come in boldly. But I think there's a difference when we humbly come to him and we come to him in relationship, when we come to him in an intimate way, you know. And so, you know, Romans talks about, you know, crying out to God, Abba, Father. Anybody know what that means? It kind of just means like a little kid saying, "Daddy, Daddy." It's an intimate, more endearing type of crying out to the Lord. And so, if there's anything I can say today, when we have our burdens, you know, we don't have to carry our burdens. We need to stop trying to carry our burdens because we have a loving Daddy who wants to carry our burdens for us. In a sense, and he expects us to carry our burdens. And man, honestly, there's times when you just feel like, I can't carry the burden anymore. That's good. Because that's when we hopefully get to that spot where we think, well, I'm going to give this burden to Jesus. I'm going to realize I can't carry the burden anymore. And so if you're trying to carry the burden, stop trying to carry the burden. Let that burden go, you know? Ask him to carry your burden. Ask him for the deliverance. Ask him for his strength. He's a loving father. He's the one that wants us to call him daddy. Jesus modeled the prayer for us. You know, he says, hey, when you pray, pray like this. And he starts it off, our Father. He's our Father. And if we don't know him as our Father, if we don't know him in that intimate way, well, that's why we struggle so much, I think, with our burdens. You know, and I'm not saying this to be dogmatic, like, oh, Mike Bennett, spiritual seeker. I'm saying this in a way that this is what the Lord blessed me with. This is what, you know, I'm hearing on the receipt. This is what, you know, I'm encouraged of in my daily day-ins and day-outs is, man, be more intimate with Christ. It makes life easier. And so if you had that struggle, and even if you don't, I want to encourage you guys, be as intimate with the Father as you possibly be. You can be as closest to God as you want to be. You know, the only thing that distances us, the only thing that makes it heavier is our own mind and our own unwillingness to want to draw in and to do it in the first place. God longs for it. He wants it. He understands. He orders it. He demands it. He commands it. This is what it has to be. This is what I want. And so, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 through 11. Look at Paul's heart there. I think he would be saying, you know, there's burdens, there's things that are tough. God has given me more than I can carry, but it's not more than God can carry. And if you keep trying to carry it, you're going to break your back. You're going to get worn out, and then life's going to be a lot more worse off than it was when you were trying to carry that load. But if you just give it to the Lord, then you don't have to feel the pressure as much. You can have that peace. So we're going to have communion today, and I just take that time to figure out what does that mean for you. Because I don't want to give you guys a formula. I'm not going to give Alex a formula and then Ian a formula. It doesn't work that way. And that kind of, to me, that defeats the whole purpose of you being intimate with the Lord. You know, I want it to be your relationship. And so I hope that you guys would take this and say, well, you know, what, Lord, how are you talking to me? You be my intimate God about taking my burdens, about, you know, you spoke to Mike a certain way. You know, which way are you talking to me with? So I'm going to close this in prayer. And then I think we have our worship team that cruises back up here slowly but surely. And we'll finish off the rest of the time in worship, okay?